Find your Bibles, open those to the 30th Psalm this evening. Psalm 30. We'll try and go there. The 30th Psalm. I want to talk to you about believers' endurance. The believer's endurance. Believers are called to endure. You have a calling. You say, well, preacher says that you shouldn't preach unless you have a calling. And that is true. Unless you've been called by God, you have no business trying to preach. Did you turn that audio off, David? Where's David? Is the audio turned off? Little mic? My earphones are still trying to stream that. Technology. Please let me hear. Thank you. I tell you, technology is a good thing until it goes bad. And then it makes you want to pull out the rest of the hair that you have left. Or throw it out the window, one or the other. Traveling at 80 miles an hour, just dump it. So I was trying to say to you that believers have a calling upon their lives. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're called to endure. Ooh, that doesn't sound very good. You're called to endure. I heard someone say years ago, said, you need to get saved. You need to give your heart and life to Jesus and then everything will be great. Ooh, who lied to him? Ooh. Your problems and troubles are just getting started when you get born again. You're not on the yellow brick road. There's no magical wizard at the end of that road that's going to make everything hunky-dory. It doesn't work that way. But Jesus said, I'll go with you. You know, no matter where you are, I will go with you. Like he said this morning, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a great thing. The 30th Psalm, David writes in verses 1 through 6, and it was actually at the dedication of the house that David built. And you see that he says, number 1, verse number 1, Psalm 30, verse 1, I will extol thee. I think we had that word the other night. I'm not sure that I gave you the definition. I went through it quickly because we were looking at something different. But the word extol means to literally to lift high, to raise up or give a promotion to. Our God ought to be promoted in our lives, in our minds, in our priorities. God ought to be lifted up and promoted and have the number one spot. David says, I will lift you up. I will praise you on high. I will promote you, Lord. I will extol thee, O Lord. For thou hast lifted me up and hast made my foes to rejoice, not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Father, I pray now that you give glory to yourself, that you manifest yourself this evening to each child of God that's present here. And to those who know you not as Father, I pray you convict their soul and give them that understanding that comes from the Spirit himself of realizing that we're sinners in need of a deliverer, in need of help. We can't do it alone. And realize that Jesus is our help. He's our Savior, our substitute, our sacrifice, our King. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Be seated. So many Christians, so many have been misled into thinking that the Christian life is all about rose petals and wealth and prosperity and all of those kinds of things. It's not so. It's not so. In fact, believers are called to endure. You have a calling. Endure your situation. I'll give you a few of those in just a moment. That's the whole message tonight, is learning to endure. And I get so aggravated at seeing has-been Christians who got mad at God because they were led to believe that everything was going to be right, that God was going to wipe away all their problems and all their troubles and give them health, wealth, and prosperity. And quite frankly, it's just not that way. And it does a disservice to God for churches, denominations, preachers, and others to promote that kind of idea, because it leads an immature Christian to come to the point of realizing or believing that, hey, God gives health, wealth, and prosperity to everyone else, but not to me. Why am I on this end of it? And it seems as though trouble just follows after trouble and problem after problem in my life. And, you know, maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe I'm not even a child of God for that sake. The writers in the Bible, and especially David, give us a different idea. He says, hey, we've never been exempted from troubles, problems, sufferings. We're called to endure, realizing that God gives us the enduring ability. And when we do that, or He does that, then we brag on God. That's what your job is, after all. To be in the most difficult situations of life, realizing, man, it's a long way up in this bottom pit, in this pit that I'm in. It's a long way up. I need some help. Somebody's going to help me, have to help me get out of here. And when God does it, then you ought to brag on Him and glorify Him and rejoice that He counted you worthy to suffer just to be able to see His deliverance in your life. Sometimes we suffer and we have to endure not because we've done something wrong, but it's just about a part of life and being stretched. I was talking to some mamas lately about their first year college students, their babies, and they're concerned and their babies are out of town and gone to colleges and different places, and these mamas are distraught and still trying to smother their children. Listen, you're supposed to be preparing your child for the day they leave home where they can make it. They can make choices. They can call for counsel. But don't slip them the credit card. Let them suffer a little bit. It's part of growing up. It's part of coming into an adult world. They're being stretched beyond their abilities, and that's good. But don't come to the rescue because God's trying to teach and give them a lesson that you and I had to learn. And it's just as well that they learn is okay. Sometimes we want to keep people from suffering. We want to keep people from pain, especially if our blood runs in their veins. But we should not. All of us are made what we are and are becoming such by the stretching in our lives of suffering and pain and agony and sickness and disease, poverty, joblessness, and all the rest. It's part of the stretching process. And David writes and others write and say, hey, as a believer, what did you expect? Jesus said, they persecuted me. And if you're my disciples, they will persecute you as well. So what did you expect? We whimper and cry and criticize and complain we cast the blame on someone or something other than ourselves for the situation we find ourselves in. But back again, believers are called to endure. David writes in verse number 5 of that 30th Psalm, he says, "The anger of the Lord endureth but a moment." You know, we think, man, when my dad used to spank me with a belt, I used to think he was mad at me so bad I'd never get over it. He wasn't necessarily angry with me. He was angry at what caused me to disobey him. And he was trying to help me not to forget that the next time. He was doing it for my good, though it didn't feel like it at the moment. I realize it now. And I realize it more when I had kids that I had to do to them. Realizing that, hey, it does hurt the discipliner more than the disciplined because of that great love. And God does not enjoy disciplining us, but for our good. And David writes and he says, "His anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping," in my life and yours, "weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Now, I like that part. If you hang on long enough, joy is the end process. The word endure means to continue or remain, to put up with, used in different kinds of situations. Endure, continue, remain. Don't try to find an open door to get away from it. Man, when we start going through the process of being stretched, it's painful. It is painful. You ever put on a pair of shoes that were way too small for you? And you tried to make them work? And you tried to stretch them? And you sprayed them with the stuff they said will stretch your shoes? I had a pair of boots one time that came up to my knee. Boy, they were cool. They had a leather strap around them, a little buckle on the side, kind of like a motorcycle boot, you know. And man, I thought those were the coolest things. I bought them with my own money. I got them and they hurt my feet right across the top of my foot. They were cool. I looked cool, but I could barely walk in them. They hurt so bad. Look, I could not stretch the boots. They never, ever fit my feet. I finally quit wearing them altogether. But stretching yourself as you grow spiritually, emotionally, mentally, causes pain, real suffering. But you must endure it. He says, we reap what we sow. If we're constantly trying to run away from the pain, we're trying to go to another job, or we're trying to get out of this class and go to a different class, or we're trying to leave this city and go to a different city, or whatever the process, no matter where you go and end up, if you're God's child and God was allowing that in your life to grow you to a certain place, guess what? You're going to meet that same thing face to face again. Because it's part of the process. It's part of the process. David says, weeping may endure. You may put up with it. Continue, remains for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want to show you a few things and I'll be finished tonight. Number one, I want to talk about the believer's endurance. You find it everywhere when you began looking for it in the Bible, but I give you just a few choice verses of scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, you're encouraged to endure hardness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. Notice what the Apostle Paul said. Thou, therefore, endure. There's a word, and I want you to underline it because that's the word we're focused on. Endure. Put up with. Remain under. Remain in your situation. Remain. You have something to learn. Oh, it may be painful, it may be sorrowful, it may be difficult. Yeah, well, don't run from difficulty. It stretches you. Some of my college kids now that talk to me on the phone or text message and so on, they said, oh, this is so horrible, this is so horrible. And this, I said, hold on. You just stay where you are. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you turn around. It's part of the process of becoming an adult. You want to be an adult? You want to be treated like an adult? Then go through the process that every adult went through. They had to be stretched, and they had to be taught, and they had to learn patience, and they had to learn endurance. But there's a promise from God right here in the writings of David that if you endure, if you stay with it, you don't run from it, you don't try to quit to get away from the pain and the suffering of it, you endure it, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Notice he says here, 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness, hardships, difficulties, hardships. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Oh, man, listen, when I went through basic training and my AIT training, there were some difficult situations. I like to froze one day. We stood at attention in the rain, in the company formation in the rain. And it was middle October in South Louisiana. And it was a cold rain. And we stood there for 3 hours. And I thought I would freeze to death. My khaki uniform was soaked. My t-shirts were soaked. Everything about it was soaked. No jackets on, just short sleeves. I was freezing to death. But we stood like good soldiers at attention. And, you know, we run to the rifle range. I've been told by others, well, we only did 3 hours of training on the rifle. I said, yeah, but you weren't in the branch I was in. And we ran to the rifle range with full pack, weapon, helmet, everything. Every day. And there were those who would fall out. They learned the truck would pick them up at the end and truck them on to the rifle range while the rest of us ran. Yeah. Boy, when you start seeing those guys, you're in 4th platoon and 1st platoon, you start seeing guys laid out on the side of the road. They can't go anymore. And you know after the first experience, you know they're going to be trucked to the rifle range while you run. Now, what kind of dummy am I? Maybe I ought to fall out with the rest of them and ride the truck. But after about 3 times of that first week, our captain had us in company formation. He said, all right, here's the names of everyone that fell out this week during our training at the rifle range. And guess what those guys got to do? After we were done for the day and back in the barracks, they were outside doing PT training. They were running around the company area, and they had about 3 hours extra work after we were finished during the day. There weren't quite so many of them fall out the next week. It was fewer in number. And by the time we finished, no one fell out. Everyone ran. That's what I'm saying. Endure hardness as a good soldier. A soldier eats his meals sometimes when it's pouring down rain and no cover. I mean, literally, how hungry are you? I'm not going to eat that slop. I'm not going to eat it. Well, guess what? If you're hungry, you don't have a choice. You don't have your mama here to take care of you. You just either eat it or starve. What you going to do? Well, it's got rain in it. So what? Makes it softer, easier to chew up. Well, I don't know. I went for a cup of coffee and I drank down, and in the bottom of that cup there was all this black stuff. Yeah, that's the coffee grounds. That's the way they make their coffee there. Well, I can't drink that. Mama didn't. Yeah, mama took care of you, you little baby. But endure hardness as a good soldier. Soldiers go through training and go through things that the normal person would not do. They're not going to stomp through the mud and then shine their boots afterwards. They're going to throw, you know, you're not going to do that. You're not going to go out in the rain without rain gear. Oh, we had ponchos, but there were very few times we got to use them. Endure hardness. Especially, I never experienced the battlefield, but I've had guys tell me who did. That they were grateful to have anything to eat at times. Didn't matter if it was rain-soaked or what it was, they were grateful to have something to eat. They were grateful to have a pair of socks that didn't have holes in them. They were grateful when, you know, all these things came about. And no, you will not put yourself through the same kind of things that a soldier must endure during training and during battle. You will not drink hot water that is 90 degrees. You say, man, put ice on that. What if you're in the desert? You have no ice. You'll be glad to get what water you can get. Endure hardness as a soldier. As a soldier. Oh, but if it's not exactly right, Christians complain and whine, and we're not going to do it. But a soldier will. And this is where the Apostle Paul comes in and he says, you need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. You see it? Hard. What is hardness? Anything that comes along. Endure hardness. The air conditioning may go out. Oh, we're enduring hardness. Yeah. You know, electricity went off last year for some of us, and our houses got cold, and it was below freezing. And so, and we endured hardness, and oh, we're suffering. We're suffering so desperately. Thou therefore endure. Put up with it. Suffer for it. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we didn't have an air-conditioned building, would you still come when it's 100 degrees outside? If we didn't have air conditioning in our automobiles, would you still drive to church? You know, endure hardness. That's not even hardness. We're not talking about. We haven't gotten down to bleeding yet. I used to tell my kids, when they go into sports and you see all the little mama babies on the sidelines now, when they get a little bump, they cry and they come to the side and it's over for the day for them. And mine tried that years ago before it got popular. And they come to the sideline and I yelled down at them from the stands or the sidelines where I was standing. I said, what are you doing? Oh, I got my elbow. I said, let me see it. I don't see any blood. No, but it hurts. I said, get back in the game. There's no blood. There's no pain. Go on. Get back in the game. I go back in the game. There's one occasion they came running to the sidelines with a big grin on their face, pointing to their elbow, and the blood was dripping off the end where they had a big scrape, and they were proud of the blood they had now. They had a legitimate reason. Yeah, okay, maybe so. We're too soft. Christians are too soft. Our lives are too soft. Endure hardness as a good soldier. The very moment that Jesus doesn't come to rescue exactly at this particular moment, but allows us to suffer just a little bit longer, stretching us just a little bit more, we start complaining and we're ready to quit the game. We're ready to throw in the towel. We're ready to go sit on the bench. We don't want any more of this. Wait. Only those who endure hardness keep going. I heard the story of a Navy SEAL who was doing motivational speeches and trying to motivate different groups and things. And he would motivate them while running in the rain, speaking, or doing things with ice in the ground and snow and outside and exercising and doing. He said, the difference, you think you can be a Navy SEAL, the difference in a SEAL and the rest of the world is SEALs do not shirk anything. They endure for your sakes. They endure. I've read the training of the SEALs. I couldn't do it. I have to admit I'm not that tough. But the difference in them and us, they're still flesh and blood. They bleed. What's the difference? They have a heart and a passion and a desire to make the next level. To make the next level, you have to sacrifice. To make the next level, you have to endure, first of all, where you are in training your body, and then push it to the next level. And endure and then push it to the next level. That's what the Olympians do. You think all these swimmers and runners and high jumpers and volleyball players and all the rest suddenly get there with just about 6 weeks of training? They train every day and they push their bodies to a limit and they endure and then they push it higher to another limit. This ought to be the Christian life, and it ought to be something that is commonplace rather than the exception in the lives of Christians, is that we endure suffering, problems and troubles and trials and hardships. We endure it with joy for Christ's sake, knowing that joy is coming at the end. Yes, the pain is real. Yes, the heat is hot. Yes, the water's hot. Yes, it's cold out here. Yes. But enduring, look at the word, endure hardness. That's in the same Bible that tells you that God will provide everything for you. That's in the same Bible that tells you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, where is Jesus in all this hardness? He's right there beside you. You're not paying attention. He's right there with you. But He's stretching you and me. Endure hardness. Yeah. Yeah, look at the next one. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 5. The Bible says, but watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Afflictions? Afflictions? Oh my, you know what afflictions are. It means somebody's afflicting something, afflicting pain on you, afflicting hardships on you, afflicting rule over you. Wait a minute. Yeah. Exactly. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Endure hardships, troubles, problems, workers. Endure afflictions as good workers of the Lord. Doing the work. Suffering alongside. Endure affliction. There's a third thing. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood. What's the brotherhood? What is the brotherhood? Well, that's Christian brotherhood. If you're saved, I'm saved, that makes us brothers in Christ. Yeah. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Let's talk about that for a moment. The word thankworthy. The word thankworthy means a divine influence on the heart. In other words, I'm able to endure by the grace that's given unto me. This is thankworthy. This is divine influence upon your heart and upon your life. This is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God, if a man has conscience about things that God has instructed him on, and he has character, he has integrity, he has priorities, he has a list of rules that maybe no one else has, but he himself, that he's going to live by, a code he's going to live by. And there are things on the job that go against his list. There are things where he works that he will not do, he refuses to do for conscience sake, a Christian conscience. A conscience towards God. This is thankworthy. This is the influence upon the heart. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Endure. To undergo. to withstand, to hang on to endure, to put up with. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. I can bring that home real fast today. I have relatives, both near and far, who have been told, if you don't take the COVID shot, you're losing your job in 6 weeks. And for conscience sake, that you may not have, which is fine, but for their conscience sake, they said, we're not taking the shot. We've been doing the same job for you now that we've been doing all along without the shot. Why does it become valuable and important now for us to take the shot? We're not going to take the shot. Then you're going to be fired, terminated, lose your job. Does that cause grief? Well, yeah, it causes affliction. It causes grief. If a man, for conscience towards God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. It's not right to fire someone just because they have a conscience of not taking the shot. Now, some of you have taken it. I don't care. But you have no right to tell me I have to take it. None at all. That ought to be a personal choice. And you should not slam me because I refused to take it, like I shouldn't slam you because you did take it. But I know people who are suffering without work because now the new qualifications to get employed here, all new employees must have a COVID vaccination, show proof of such vaccination, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Ain't doing it. Ain't gonna do it. And so there are people who are suffering right now because they have a conscience that this thing was made with aborted tissue. They're not gonna do that. It's still experimental. You don't know what's gonna happen. They have not told you. I know we have people that have it. I won't try to make you feel bad about it or anything else, but as for me and my house, ain't no way. And you know my personal position with my wife. You know what I'm dealing with there. I try to keep her away from, dangerous situations as much as possible. But we're not taking the shot. I think the shot is as dangerous as not taking the shot. I've heard stories from here in Midland of people having difficulties, and many of them, great difficulties after having had the shot. If you're one that had the shot, you had no difficulties, you're one of the fortunate ones. You can give glory to God and go on. But here, look, this is real. And it's coming down to this. Now, they're trying to say you can't go to school unless you have the vaccination or proof of vaccination. Now, it's on the workplace. And can't you see how this can evolve? This is not the mark of the beast. But can't you see quickly how this could evolve in the tribulation period when people are demanded, take the mark here. It just, all it does is this allows a computer scan to read who you are, your bank account, and all about it. It's just for convenience sake. Just scan it and go on. And the mark in the hand or the forehead. You walk through the screening process and automatically flashes up on the screen in multi-second. Who you are, whether you've been vaccinated or not, what your bank account level is, if you can buy groceries today or you can't buy groceries today, you have money in your account or you don't have money, instantaneously. No, I'm not going to be part of that. Well, you're not going to be part of that, then you're not going to buy groceries. What you going to do now? You're going to be coerced into doing those things. We see little signs of it now, and I rebel against doing that. But it's not about that. But look, it's about endurance. As a Christian, not going along with the crowd just to get along or just to be able to do something, but having conscience against it, I will not do it. And so he says, endure grief then, as a good conscience towards God, This is thankworthy. This is strengthened by, this has the influence of the holy divine person upon the heart. This is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief. Grief is real, like we talked about a moment ago, being stretched. Grief is real. You just lost your job because you wouldn't get the shot. Grief is real. But endure. Endure grief. Suffering wrongfully. It's wrong that they should. Yeah, it is. It's wrong. They have no right. They have no rights. Grief. There's another thing. He talks about in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse number 12. Enduring temptation. Putting up with. Staying by the stuff, endurance. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. You know, and now go around and say, let no man say when he is tempted that he's tempted of God. For God can tempt no man with evil. Be sure you watch that. And be careful that you qualify the word temptation and trial. A trial or temptation. That you qualify those. Blessed is the man that endureth, that bears bravely, to remain under calmly, a temptation to quit and give up, a temptation to turn around, a temptation to throw in the towel, a temptation to stop, to go through an open door that is seemingly God opened and this will solve all of my problems, when in reality it will not. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Whoa, whoa. Goes all the way back to the beginning of this tonight where I said sometimes we're stretched. We have to grow like college students, you know, and people trying to leave home for the first time, they think they have all the answers, but when they're cast out into the world, they suddenly realize, whoa, this is bigger than I am. So then they begin to try to dodge all of the painful situations and find out there's no running from it. Because you need stretching, you need growing, and it's going to be painful. Happy is the man that remains, or happy is the man that bears bravely and calmly the temptation that is cast upon him. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily, you know, whiskey pushed in front of you and you're denying. That's not your temptation, or pornography. We're not talking about, we're talking about real life situations where it comes up that I must provide a living for myself, or I must provide a living for me and my wife, or I must provide a living for me and my family, and they're wanting me to do this and this and this, and I'm all opposed to it. Endure it bravely and calmly, realizing that God has an answer and God will help if you'll just endure bravely. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The last thing. Timothy writes, actually Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Find it with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7. Paul writes, and he says this, consider what I say, Paul says. I like that. Consider what I say. But he's writing under inspiration of God. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, because I wrote that gospel, because I preach that gospel wherever I go. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He was crucified. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried in a grave. Paul says after 3 days and three nights, he was raised from the dead again, and many witnesses saw him. Eyewitnesses saw him. And Paul says, that's the gospel. He said, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto these bonds and chains on his hands and feet. I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Verse 10, now listen. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, for those that are saved. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You may deny him. You may give up. You may quit. You may not endure. You may turn around. You may cash in the chips. You may throw in the towel. But Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, for those who are to be saved. And he said, we don't know who they are, but we share the gospel with everyone, hoping, praying they'll receive Christ. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I endure all that. You know, I guess the bottom line is, if you're a child of God, you're a believer. If you're a child of God, you're a Christian. You're called to endure. Oh, you say, but I don't want to go that route. I don't want to be part of that. It doesn't matter. You're going to be force-fed. If you don't like it, you're going to be force-fed. God has a way of stretching us. But some are so stiff-necked and rebel against it, they're the ones that it's the hardest on. When you rebel against it and you're stiff-necked and you're pulling against it is when you suffer more pain, more agony than remaining, enduring calmly, going along with the suffering, realizing God has a better day, realizing that God will be victorious in the end, and I'm His child, so I shall be victorious in the end. And they may be against me and say, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this if you're going to get a job and work for us. And I say, I'm not doing it for conscience sake. God will help. God will abide. And Paul says, I endure all things. When you look at the Apostle Paul's life, I think you can see that truly he did shipwreck, beaten, robbed, left for dead, chained between two soldiers, in shackles. The Apostle Paul, he said, I deserve it. He endured it. It's like, I deserve it. I put saints of God to death in the name of religion before I knew Jesus Christ. It's like he says, I endure all afflictions joyfully, realizing that, but thus, except for the grace of God, I could be in hell today. But he says, the greatest thing is knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, realizing He'll take care of, realizing He'll help, realizing that pain and sorrow and agony may endure for the night. Have you ever been sick in the evening at night and you tried to go to bed and you couldn't sleep and you had to get up and you were so tired and sleepy and you went back to bed, but you were so sick you couldn't sleep lying down? You sat in a chair somewhere and you got a little relief in the chair, and off and on you'd wake up, go to sleep, wake up, go to sleep. It's horrible, isn't it? The night is so long. That's where he says there in Psalm what he's talking about. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The nights are so long when you're hurting and you're in pain or sorrow or agony, or grief. The nights are so long. But thank God when the sun shines, it seems like we get a second wind and joy comes. That's what Jesus is saying. Hang on. In your sorrow and your affliction and your persecution and your suffering and your pain and your agony, hang on, endure. Realize the morning's coming. The morning's coming, and it'll be a better day. Child of God, as we read this morning in one of our scripture verses, he said, in the day of trouble, call upon me. I will answer. I will deliver you. And then you will glorify me. It doesn't mean glorify him, just you and him, you and God. I'm glorifying God, for he answered, delivered me out of my trouble. No, it means glorify him to people around you. Let them know that you were in trouble, that God delivered, that God gets the credit in the process. That's what it's all about. Enduring is a twofold thing. You need to be stretched and grow, and you'll be better for it. But also in that process, you glorify God, realizing that Paul said, I used to be a child, and when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, I acted as a child, but now I'm grown. There's a maturing level. Before he suddenly became grown, there was a growing process there. From childhood to an adulthood. And Paul likens that to the spiritual nature of man. There's a process that the Holy Spirit goes through on us that he stretches us. And it's painful. Yes, it is. But it's absolutely needful. And when you get to that point where you're beginning to mature and grow, then you see the process as a joy and not as a dread. You see trouble as an opportunity for God to manifest himself to you instead of dreading trouble every time it comes and I'm trying to escape it and get away from it. I quit every job that comes along. I move every year or two just to keep up with it and keep away from it. When trouble comes, I leave. I had a preacher friend that used to be a friend, is no longer a friend. But used to say to me, I can't take adversity. I just can't take adversity. He said, I don't enjoy trouble and adversity. I said, man, you're never going to make it in the ministry then. Because it's one thing after another, literally. I said, what are you doing being a preacher? Well, God, if God called you, he would have enabled you to handle that situation. You know, and some Christians say, I just can't handle trouble. I just don't want trouble. Well, don't trouble trouble till trouble troubles you, but then take hold of it and say, look, by the grace of God, I'm going to get through this. And it usually happens. Let's stand and be dismissed tonight. I let you out early. I want you to notice your watch. I'll let you out early.